Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Still trying to get my guest. I hope we connect without a problem. Sometimes when you go overseas, you never know what you might run into. But my scheduled guest is Mohamed Marandi. Mohamed is an associate professor at the University of Tehran. He also chairs the North American Studies Department. He's very knowledgeable about events in the region, and he was on before. His breadth of knowledge on this is the reason that attracted me to him in the first place. I heard his interviews, and they were marvelous, and he explains things very lucidly. And what more important region of the world to discuss than what's going on in the Middle East? I simply can't stop writing about it myself. Syria, Iran, Palestine. I've written about Egypt. I've written about some of the other countries a little bit. Egypt is a big one because we know what went on there last year, and nothing has changed. One guy's out. The regime is still in. It's worse now than it ever was under Mubarak. That's the way the dirty game goes. And part of the game that's never reported is the entire process to get rid of him was manipulated by Washington because he fell out of favor. Try reading that in the New York Times. I hear it on CNN. Well, the same dirty game is going on in Syria and Iran. Neither country threatens anybody. Their only sin, as they say, is they both are independent states. They're not in the U.S. orbit. They're not U.S. client states. America doesn't tolerate independent states. I think in one article I said, and if I haven't, I'm going to say it, that if America had a motto, it would be, we're boss and what we say goes. Well, independent states are independent. They think that their sovereignty means more than what U.S. Authorities may want them to do in service to the empire. That gets them in trouble. I think we've got Mohamed on the line. Mohamed, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just a couple of minutes late connecting with you. Maybe you caught a few of my comments. I write so often on the region, mainly lately Syria and Iran, and I know you're on this as well, and you're right there. Let me let you jump in and talk about what's going on in the region and specifically those two countries as you see things.
Well, I couldn't hear what was being said earlier, but my understanding is that right now what's going on is that the Syrians have accepted the UN peace plan put forth by Kofi Annan, and although Kofi Annan is more in the U.S. and Western camp than anywhere else, the Syrians still hope that this could bring about a solution. But unfortunately, while on the one hand, Annan has a mandate from the UN Security Council, on the other hand, the United States and other Western countries took part in a conference in Turkey, which effectively in that conference, it was decided by many states, especially the dictatorships in the Persian Gulf, the Saudis and the Qataris, among others, to fund the military and foreign-funded opposition, the military opposition that's funded by Western countries, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and so on. So it is extraordinary because this runs in contrast with the peace plan itself. In other words, as the UN is trying to bring an end to the violence, American allies are officially now funding violence and non-state actors in Syria.
It really
so
it's shocking.
It's a complicated situation.
Oh, indeed. And the name of the game is regime change. And the funding and the arming and the training, they're all exactly what went on a year ago in Libya with the U.S. and U.K. and French special forces on the ground. And, I mean, Washington's, I like to say Washington's dirty hands are manipulating everything. In my country, Mohammed, there has been a long-standing plan for regime change in all the regions, independent states, Syria, Iran. Any state that maintains its own sovereignty is a target for regime change. And on Kofi Annan, the language of his peace plan sounds reasonable, except that he insists that Assad go first. In other words,
that's right.
Let the gangs keep killing people, and demand that Assad go by a ceasefire, stop protecting his people, let the gangs keep killing innocent people. And one more comment about Kofi Annan. While he was still Secretary General, UN Secretary General, Mohammed, I wrote a detailed article about him. He served in that position for a decade. He never did a single thing to work for peace. He supported the Western, mainly U.S. imperial agenda, straight down the line. I mean, I knew it was a setup as soon as he was appointed, and I haven't changed my mind for a moment.
And the really sad thing is that at the end of the day, these policies are not at all in the interest of the people of the United States. So while the United States is constantly engaging in hostile actions abroad, and the media is demonizing foreign countries and foreign governments in line with U.S. government interests, all the hostilities that have been that we have seen over the past few years have immensely damaged not only American standing across the globe, but the U.S. economy. So, you know, even if these unfair, inhuman policies were, at least if they were effective, and if they were in pushing U.S. interests forward, you know, you'd think that there would be some justification, at least for some people, despite the fact that, you know, they're unjust and unfair. But the irony of it is that it is not serving even the unprincipled interests of the political elite in the United States, nor is it serving the interests of ordinary Americans. And many analysts, not in the mainstream Western media, but have been saying for a long time that Syria is not going to fall. But from the very start, it was implied that Syria is on the verge, the government is going to fall. Many people have been saying that Assad is popular among his own people. Well, the Western media had been denying that terrorist activities were taking place from almost the very start of this whole situation. Not that the Assad regime is a utopian regime. The regime itself is deeply flawed. The Ba'athist Party has enormous problems. But it does have popular support. B, they did promise and do promise to bring about reform, and they have begun carrying out reforms. And C, those regimes that are opposed to Assad and aligned with the United States are the most despotic regimes in the world, like Saudi Arabia, where women cannot drive cars, they cannot ride alone in taxis, they cannot have independent bank accounts. Qatar, which doesn't even, and Saudi Arabia, neither have elections or even a constitution. And ironically, the Qataris and the Saudis are the two regimes that fund the Taliban-like ideology, the extremist Salafists. And the same sort of people, the same sort of ideology that carried out 9/11 in the United States and imposed itself in the name of the Taliban in Afghanistan. These are the people who the United States have aligned themselves with.
It is shocking and disgusting. I mean, I live in the heart of the beast, Mohammed. It bothers me no end that this is what a country that calls itself a democracy does. I mean, my country literally ravages the world with war. Since World War II, at least, Mohammed, America has had literally had a permanent war policy. I mean, one war has segued Kuwait into another war, multiple wars, proxy wars, and I wrote about General Richard Clark. He wrote a book some years ago, and he talked about right after 9/11, he visited the Pentagon. This is the guy who waged war on Serbia, Kosovo in March, April 1999, and unleashed more ordnance than was done. I'm going to say this wrong because I don't remember exactly what I wrote so long ago, but I mean, the amount of ordnance unleashed was absolutely extraordinary. 78 days of hell that just ravaged the country. And again, we're talking about an independent state. The Balkan Wars went on throughout the 1990s. The term Balkanized came out of that war. They wanted to break up Yugoslavia, and they did, into a number of pieces. And they wanted to get rid of Milosevic, not because of how he ran his country, but because he was independent, and they did. And then I believe that they murdered him. But that's another story. Richard Clark visited the Pentagon, Mohammed, right after 9/11, so about a decade ago, and he said he came away shocked to find out that there was a list of countries on Washington's list that they intended to go to war with, or at least bring about regime change. And they ticked them off. It was the Afghan war had already begun, so that was on the list. But the war had already started in October 2001, and then they named Iraq, and they named Libya, and Iran, and Syria, and Sudan. Well, Sudan is now split in two countries, so it's Northern Sudan, and there might have been a couple of others on the list too. And he said he was stunned to hear this. I don't know why he was stunned. I mean, he was a four-star general. He was involved in all the militancy that went on. He was the NATO commander, and stunned. I mean, he knew that the business of America is war. Maybe he was stunned to find out that we plan to go to war with all these countries. You know, not one, and then, you know, take a pause and then think about what else you want to do. So maybe that's what stunned him. Maybe that would stun anybody. But this is the U.S. agenda, Mohammed. I mean, literally, war is so profitable that this is what the policy of my government is. Literally, the business of America is war.
But what really stuns me more than anything else is how the United States is willing to choose the most extraordinary allies, or at least close its eyes to the fact that certain people are fighting on the same side of the battlefield. Right now in Syria, for example, Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda, they are fighting on the same side as the Americans. So you have, you know, America, the United States, fighting alongside Al-Qaeda against the Syrian government. And then you have the regimes that provide the Al-Qaeda ideology, meaning Salafi extremist Salafism, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, on the American side. And if you look at Libya, regardless of the fact that NATO bombed many civilian targets and the Western media really refuses to acknowledge this in a meaningful way, killing many, many thousands of innocent people and destroying the country's infrastructure. But right now in Libya, you see the rise of extreme Salafism, and it is spreading in different parts of northern Africa, especially with all the arms that are now no longer in control of the government, and the arms of, you know, different militias are in control of huge amounts of weapons in this North African country, as well as now in the neighboring countries. So the United States, while, as I said, it's constant waging of wars is itself brutal and immoral, but it is not even serving American interest in a selfish way. It's detrimental to, you know, the well-being of ordinary Americans. In the past, the American government doesn't learn from its own past. In the past, they funded extremist groups in Afghanistan against the Soviets, and that was just Afghanistan. And look what happened later on in 9/11. Now we see the same extremist Salafists being spread by the Saudis, by the Qataris, throughout North Africa, throughout the Middle East, much broader in scope and with much greater funding than in Afghanistan. And we already see what's going on in Brussels. They firebombed a mosque recently, killing a person. In France, they carried out seven people were killed by a Salafist, an extremist, in separate attacks. In Nigeria, you see the attacks being carried out by these extremists. And, this is going on in different parts of the region. And, this extremism will definitely spread as the Americans have closed their eyes to the reality of what the Saudis and the Qataris are doing.
Well, indeed so, Mohammed. And there's another major element that I'm addressing, and I have no idea what the future holds, but I know what I fear. I know the possibilities that I fear. And major countries, namely Russia and China, have interests in the Middle East. Certainly oil is major for China. China's very dependent on Iranian oil, and Russia, of course, is oil rich, but has a close relationship with Syria. And my concern is that if either country or both are attacked, if violence really intensifies, and heaven forbid NATO gets involved again, one or both of those countries could get involved to protect their own interests. And I suggest the possibility, I don't know that it would happen, but I think the risk is very great, the possibility of a global war. And this is something like the way World War I began, where one country got in and then another went to one side and another went to the other side. And before you know it, we had World War I, and 4 years later, 25 million people were dead. And then everything was so mishandled after that, it was inevitable we'd have World War II. Well, is it inevitable that World War III is coming? We have nuclear weapons now. I mean, this is a very, very grave risk, and yet there are leaders in my country especially that literally are willing to risk something like this.
What I also think is should be added is that Iran alone is much stronger than Iraq and Afghanistan combined, and the United States economy and the army and the military is very tired. And I don't even see the Americans really coming out on top. Everyone, it would be a loss for everyone in any conflict, and the price of oil obviously would go to extraordinary high prices, and it would bring about the collapse of the global economy. But what is also amazing for me is that the United States government and its European partners, they close their eyes to the most extreme regimes such as Saudi Arabia and Qatar. The Western media is silent about what they do. Amnesty International, for example, and Human Rights Watch, they say very little about these regimes. And it's interesting that the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, these are slave states. They have millions of people from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Philippines, working literally as slaves, the same people who build all those skyscrapers in Abu Dhabi and so on. These are all slaves. These are people who don't even, when they go into the country, they don't even, they take away their passports and they use them like slaves. None of these countries are democratic. They are extremists. But they get severely attacked by anyone in the West. Yet, on the other hand, the United States shows so much hostility towards Iran. Whereas Iran in the past has, despite, the rhetoric in the Western media, has on numerous occasions tried to move, to give a green signal to the United States for rapprochement, the Tehran Declaration, the help that the Iranians gave in the war against the Taliban, and so on and so forth. But the American foreign policy on Iran is really irrational. It's sort of like on autopilot. So because of their extraordinary hostility towards Iran, they are willing to close their eyes to whatever their radical and extremist allies do, and in Syria, and Syria is a good example. The reason why the United States is so hostile towards Syria is because Syria is a friend of Iran. And that's why they're even willing to close their eyes to the existence of Al-Qaeda in the country. And Al-Qaeda is being strengthened in Syria. Yet the United States and the Western media says very little about this because it runs contrary to their irrational policies on Syria and Iran.
Mohammed, after 9/11, I don't know about Iran, but I do know that Syria and Libya under Gaddafi both cooperated with Washington in its war on terror. So, I mean, they literally allied the war on terror was spurious from the get-go, but both countries allied with Washington, and this was the payback they got. And another country that's been targeted, literally America's been at war, the country I want to mention is North Korea. I mean, America literally has been at war with North Korea since June 1950. The war never ended. You know, there was a ceasefire, but the war never ended. And for at least over three decades, maybe longer than that, North Korea absolutely wanted a rapprochement with Washington, and they have been turned down flat every time. I think a big reason with them, Mohammed, is the only way that Washington could get away with murder again and again and again is it needs enemies. If there are no enemies around, then how do you justify going to war? So, you know, you create a spurious war on terror, and then you claim states are rogue states, and they threaten world security or regional security or whatever. So in the Middle East, it's Iran and Syria right now, Gaddafi before last year, and North Korea for the past over six decades.
And if you look again at American policies, you see that at the end of the day, they all run detrimental to the interests of the American people. At a time when China and India and other rivals of the United States, Russia, Brazil, all of these countries are on the rise, American policy, for example, in Latin America, by antagonizing Cuba for all these decades, what has it ultimately led to? Almost all the important countries in Latin America are now critical of the United States, except for Colombia. So these countries are now doing more business, and Chile, which the government is doing poorly in the polls. Almost all these countries now are seeking better ties with China, with India, with Russia, rather than the United States, because of America's past and because of American policy towards Cuba and towards Venezuela, for example. And the same is true in Iran. The U.S. antagonism towards Iran is just making Iran increase its business and trade and exchange and, you know, academic as well as political exchanges with India, with China increase, whereas its relations with Europe and the United States are decreasing. So the United States is not only harming its own interests, it's harming business, it's harming its own economy, and this is at a time when the EU and the United States are in desperate need of more trade, better relations, trading partners, investment, and so on and so forth. But what the United States has done is they've driven away many Latin America countries from their sphere of influence. They've driven away countries like Iran, and they've aligned themselves to Israel, which is an apartheid state, thus antagonizing Arab public opinion. And they've aligned themselves to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the dictatorships of the Persian Gulf region, which have no democracy, which are slave states, and which are highly unpopular and will most probably fall within the next coming months and years, just like the U.S. allies in Egypt and in Tunisia fell.
I absolutely agree with you, Mohammed. And literally, I think over time, Washington is making more enemies than friends. It's a self-defeating policy that Washington is following, and they think that they can somehow get their way, literally through the barrel of a gun. I mean, the only thing that America is still number one on, well, I guess it's the world's largest economy, but it's slipping. And in a few years, China will overtake America. I mean, they're literally petrified here about that. I mean, China economically, they're not doing everything right, but they certainly run their economy a lot better than America runs the economy here. But the only area where America is really far and away the most dominant is in the military area. But But then, I mean, Russia can match America with nuclear bombs and delivery systems, and of course that kept peace during the Cold War. But yet the Cold War never really ended, and Russia is targeted, and China is still targeted, and the Middle East is targeted. How on earth do you have a sustainable long-term policy that will keep the country growing well, and a century from now, America will still be prosperous, have lots of allies, things will really be good at home, they'll be good abroad. I mean, this policy is literally self-defeating, and America can only keep this game going for so long, and eventually, I think America will be left with only allies in Israel, maybe a few rogue states here or there, Saudi Arabia, ones like that, and a few small Pacific islands that wouldn't dare say no, because, they can be disappeared in almost a nanosecond by America, and this is what America may be left with. Look what's happening to Israel right now, Mohammed. I mean, Israel. Some people say, well, you know, you don't have to beat up on Israel anymore. Nobody likes Israel. That's we already know that what they do. Well, I don't agree. I beat up on them all the time. But literally, you cannot have a sustainable, well-growing country, well-governed, and so on, by beating up on people one after another, and this is what Israel does, this is what Washington does. It disgusts me, Mohammed, it really disgusts me.
But, you know, the thing is that the mainstream media has such a major influence on Americans, at least on many Americans, not all Americans, obviously, that they really, it's difficult for them to see beyond this narrative that has been constructed for them. So, you know, when I sometimes speak to my American colleagues that, you know, the United States doesn't, you know, if they stop the rhetoric against Iran, if they decrease their hostility, then the Iranians will decrease their hostility towards the United States. And somehow it just doesn't seem to register to some people because they've been so conditioned into believing that this there's some sort of eternal hostility directed towards the United States by Iranians or by the Cubans or by the Middle Easterners or by Latin America. I mean, I think it's time for many Americans to start thinking, why is it that that in Latin America governments in power now are critical of the United States? Why is it that the BRICS countries, Brazil, South Africa, China, Russia, and India have joined to form a new global network that excludes the United States? Why is it that the Middle East is so antagonistic or hostile towards U.S. and European policies? Is it that the whole world is bad and that only the Americans, they're behaving in a reasonable fashion? Or perhaps is it something else? Maybe it is the United States that is behaving arrogantly towards its neighbors, towards other countries, and now the U.S. is on the decline, and instead of correcting these policies to slow down this decline, to help repair the U.S. economy, the U.S. is basically becoming more and more violent and more aggressive.
Well, I wish we could go on. We're out of time. Again, I absolutely agree with you. You hit the nail on the head, and I think your last comments are very important. I mean, America is literally shooting itself in the foot, and it does it repeatedly. I look forward to getting you back and having another wonderful program with you like this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. And join us this weekend, of course, well, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and weekends at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.